Hello, friends, and welcome to the Catholic Dad Show. My name's Chris.
And my name's Matt. And it doesn't look like it, but this is Matt.
A brand new Matt. Hey, guys, we believe Catholic fatherhood can and is changing the world. And so let's dive in. Today's episode is sponsored by Simplicity. Matt's face was cluttered with too much hair. And so he decided to utilize Simplicity. Simplicity, order it now. Matt, what happened? What was the inspiration for you losing 30 years of your life, going from the bearded wonder to a baby face?
Yeah, it's funny because I don't know what's the bigger shock for most people, the hair or the beard. The beard was on my face for like at least 12 years, maybe longer. So my face has seen daylight, like this part of my face has seen daylight three times, you know, in the last 12 or 13 years. One of those, times was during COVID, so nobody else got to see it. but my hair, like the real inspiration was because my hair was long, and anybody who has long hair, which is mostly women, understand how hot it gets in the summer.
Yeah.
And it was hot. And I was like, okay, I've had long hair long enough. I'm not a long hair guy. I had it, and I was like, okay, I'm done. And so then I was like, well, it's going to shock people when I like cut the hair off. So let's go for the full on shock value and take the beard off too. And man, were my kids mad. They did not want me to go beardless. Especially my 13-year-old girl. Cause like, she's never seen me like for any length of time without a beard. But I took them all with me and made a big deal out of it. My 13-year-old did not want to participate, but I had all the other kids help shave the beard off and everything like that to make it more fun and less of a, shock thing. I didn't want to be one of those dads who covered his face, shaved it all off, and then took it off and scared his kids. I wanted my kids to actually see it happen, and see me become the person that so they can't argue, this is my dad.
Did any of your kids cry?
No, none of my kids cried. I got dirty looks from a 13-year-old, but none of the kids cried. Nobody was that upset about it because they watched it happen.
Good. And what about your wife? What does she think about the new and improved Matt Rice?
She's always preferred me without a beard. That's what I looked like when we met. Of course, right. Back then I couldn't grow a full beard.
So, nice.
Like most freshman college guys or whatever can't grow a full beard. They try to, and it's obvious that they can't. Right. And I was one of those guys. So I shaved regularly. And so she prefers it without it. So this is probably the longest I've kept it shaved. It's been almost a month now, I think. At least it feels like that. Maybe it's only been 2 weeks. But so I'm keeping it shaved for a little while. I'm riding the shock wave as long as I can. It's fun to run into people that still haven't seen me since before I shaved and to get that shock value again. So once that's done, yeah, I'll probably be done.
Good. Well, hey, today we're talking about simplicity, and your face looks a lot more simplistic. I actually don't know if your life is any more simple. I know maintaining long hair is difficult. Maintaining a beard can be a challenge, but also shaving every day is time consuming and maintenance and things like that. Is your life more simple now with shorter hair and no beard, or is it at least your routine, your hair routine? This is the Catholic Dad Show, and we're going to talk about hair routines. That's right, people. So,
I would say it was simpler with long hair. Like it took longer, to wash the hair. But other than that, it was super easy. I didn't have to go get haircuts. I didn't have to do much other than part it to style it. And I didn't have to trimming my beard was relatively easy. Now it's quicker to wash my hair, but I have to do it, every day. Otherwise it looks like crap. I have to get a haircut much more often. I have to shave at least every other day, maybe every 3 days.
Yep.
Otherwise it looks bad. It's not more simplistic. This is much more, there's much more complication, in my life with all that. So.
Good. So, while we were away, Matt and I both spent some time doing a variety of things. I actually got to encounter a pretty amazing presentation on, I think it's John Corner or James Corner's, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And in the book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, it talks about one aspect. It talks really about four, but one that we're going to focus on today is simplicity. And so the premise is like, what if more stuff actually equals less of what really matters? And the idea that stuff has responsibility attached to it. A great example of it is if you own a motorcycle, right? And so you love a motorcycle, it's a lot of fun, but it requires maintenance. It requires actually a separate license. It requires gear, like a helmet and a jacket and stuff like that to make sure that you have safety and all these other things, to where the work of owning a motorcycle might be more involved than the joy of having a motorcycle. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah. And the same thing goes for having a second car, you know, in your family. Like even having a car, like there's a certain like responsibility that comes with that. Now, if it's the only car you have, is the, you know, loss of simplicity worth the value that you're getting from it? And does it actually simplify your life because you have two cars rather than one car? Yeah. And the same thing, like if the motorcycle is your second vehicle, that actually might, you know, add some simplicity, and because it's a whole heck of a lot cheaper insurance wise. And it's cheaper to drive. Like there's a lot of simplicity that comes along with the motorcycle. But if it is like an extra vehicle, like if it's a third or fourth vehicle, then that it doesn't bring any simplistic value to it. It may bring some recreation and some just joy. I mean, motorcycles are fun, dude. Like I like motorcycles. You know, and on like non-summer days in Texas, they're great.
Yeah.
But summer days in Texas, they are hot. But yeah, you know, so that's like the point, you know, that our things bring responsibility with them, regardless of whether it's our first vehicle or our third. It's just whether or not simplicity also comes along with it. Right.
Yeah. And yeah, I think that's true. There are some items that make things make life slightly more simple. But I also think that in our American culture, we more often than not use items to clutter our lives as opposed to make them less cluttered, simplistic-ier.
Think about that second vehicle. Like the second vehicle allows us to do more stuff. You know,
right.
it allows us to go to more sporting events. It allows us to split up and go separate ways. You know, so we put more crap into our life so that like, yeah.
And if we don't do more stuff, we're not honoring the fact that we own a second vehicle. Like we spent money, we invested in. Yeah. So I think in my own life, a great example of an area I think that's clearly needs simplicity is the number of streaming services that we have access to. Right. And so we love typically on a Friday evening after everyone's off of school, everyone's home from work. And we love to do family movie night. Picking a movie has become such a burden because we're like, oh, okay, let's look at this. Oh, we don't want to watch anything on Disney Plus. Let's see what Amazon Prime Video has. Oh, okay, no. Let's go over to Netflix. Okay, now we're really scraping the bottom of the barrel. Are there any family movies on Hulu? I mean, or there's
Paramount Plus. Yeah.
Right. We have access to like four or five streaming services. And if we only had access to one streaming service, picking a movie would be much more simple because it's like these are the 14 choices we have. We're going to pick one from this docket. And instead we always think,
what streaming service do you know that only has 14 options? Hold
on. Let me just say this in regards to a G or PG family movies. When you go and you click on the family movie section outside of Disney Plus, there are not a ton of options.
You're right.
That I've seen. Like,
speaking of, like we did that on Prime at some point recently, and somehow we ended up in, I don't know, on some Norwegian, like, I don't know. And it was just awful. But we had started it and the kids were kind of into it. And I was like, oh God, this is the worst.
Was it animated?
Oh yeah, it was animated. And it was just, it may not have been Norwegian, but it definitely, you know, was not, I don't know, but it was bad, you know? And so, yeah, you end up scraping the barrel, not even knowing that you're scraping the barrel.
Yeah, Amazon seems to have, and this is again to go down the tangent, has like the generic brand version of Madagascar or the generic brand version of The Lion King, and you're just like, this is the same movie. It's just poorly animated and poor voice acting, but very very similar plot. So, but our lives would be simpler without so much stuff in it, and the privilege or the of opportunity of having choices actually doesn't necessarily increase the value when I'm sitting down getting frustrated at my children saying, no, I don't want to watch this. I don't want to watch this. And it's like, fine, then we won't watch anything. And I walk away feeling defeated trying to pick out a movie for our family, you know?
Before establishing that simplicity is a good, we've already started saying that everybody should do simplicity. Well, I think we need to go back and establish simplicity as a good. And the other thing I thought of just like right before I said that was more streaming services, while it may make finding the movie harder, it actually might simplify, you know, the process of finding a movie, a good movie, you know, because you have more options. Anyway, there's arguments to be said on both sides.
Sure.
But yeah, like why simplicity in the first place? Like, is it even a good?
Right. Yeah. And so when you think about your life, I think it's almost like bandwidth or space. And if you have white space on an advertisement, or you have a little bit more space on the, in your life, that actually turns into opportunity for God, right? So if you say no to certain things, it creates the potential for a yes somewhere else. And so making space, giving God time or space or bandwidth in your life, or creating that bandwidth so that things can move, that is a value. That is a good.
Yeah. So like, how does simplicity create that space?
I think it's because it doesn't fill your time with other things.
Yeah. And like, so simplicity can come in a lot of different forms. One, you know, is like you shared, decision making.
Right.
You know, does it, like, how long does it take us to make a decision, you know, for whatever it is? You know, simplicity is like can gain time in decision making, and even the thought processes and the pain, you know, of decision making. Simplicity can also like decrease stress because of the lowered responsibility. Like,
right.
All the responsibilities that we have, like, vie for our time, vie for our thought processes. And so if we have less responsibility, less unnecessary responsibility, we have less stress. And so that increases peace, you know, in our life, I would think. And there's got to be other things like that, you know, around that, like why simplicity is good.
Yeah. Simplicity, I think, can also increase enjoyment. And so one of the recommendations made in the book is that you actually buy higher quality items and you buy fewer items. I think about that in regards to like board gaming and things like that. Like, if I just have a higher quality item, then I might enjoy it more. I think about a piece of art or even a piece of technology or some of the toys for the kids. Like, they break, they're plastic junk that break, and then they're attached to the piece of plastic and they don't want to throw it away, but it's garbage, right? If we just buy higher quality items, like wooden toys instead of plastic toys, they would last longer and they might increase the level of enjoyment.
On that note, you know, I've noticed that, especially with regards to the furniture that we buy in our house, in viewing it much more as an investment rather than, you know, an expense or whatever. It's crazy. Like, when Levi and Asher, so these are my oldest kids, like 19 and 17, when we first moved to town, so I'd say 10, you know, maybe 12 years ago. When we moved into the second house we were in, we said, okay, let's go to the Amish furniture place and let's buy their dressers there. Because like those things are freaking solid, you know, and they're not going anywhere, but they're expensive, you know? And so it's something that, like, when you do that, you know, that it's going to be in your family for a very long time, you know, or it can be, and it's not going to be thrown away. Whereas if we hadn't done that and we'd gone to Walmart or Furniture Row or some of these other places, like we would have bought two or three since then. Like, to think that we've had this dresser for 12 years already, and it doesn't look any different and it doesn't feel any different from the day we bought it, means it's going to last for a very long time, you know? And so, and then that also relieves stress because, you know, I don't have to worry about buying another dresser. Because it's going to be there, you know, and I know it's going to be there. So I don't have this thought of, oh, I'm going to have to buy that at some point, or I'm going to have this further expense or whatever at some point. The bad thing is, for those people who like to redecorate fairly often, if you do that, it's going to last longer. And it's going to mean, either selling or wasting, you know, furniture if you want to replace it. And so I think about like even our couches, like we decided to go higher level, you know, on our couches this last time because the previous, you know, couches we bought broke, you know, within a couple of years. And I was like, I don't want to buy a new set of couches every couple of years. But the design that we have now for these couches is the design we're going to have for some time, you know, because they are going to last. And there's some real simplicity, you know, to that. Even like that right there forces you to really think about redecorating. And it may force you into simplicity. Like I'm not going to redecorate until the couches wear out, which may mean you never redecorate, you know,
right. Right.
Or you redecorate in simpler ways by just changing the paint, you know?
Right.
So,
yeah, I think one thing is decision fatigue, is a real thing. And when you purchase items that are going to wear out, that means you're going to have to make another decision quickly to go get a new dresser or to go get a new toy or to go get a new thing. And that requires more decisions to be made. And to simplify our life by buying slightly higher quality items might actually reduce the number of decisions we have to make over the course of a year. And I know that that's weird to say, but like if you had just 200 fewer decisions in the next 12 months than you did in the last 12 months, I think we can all agree that there's going to be more peace. Yeah. Because that's an easier, that's a less stressful life, you know? So
clothing may be one of the harder things, I think. Like it's easy to buy, it's easy to wear the same for a man, you know, and this is Catholic Dad Show. That's what we're talking about. So like, it's easy to wear the same pants, you know, for years, you know, because it's khaki, black, you know, maybe brown and charcoal. That's pretty much what you're wearing. If you choose blue, you know, for pants, then you can't wear those very often because everybody's going to recognize that you have worn those pants six times in the last week.
Yep.
But they're not going to recognize the khakis because everybody has multiple pairs of khakis, or at least they think that.
Yeah.
So if you buy higher quality pants like that, then you don't have to buy new pants, you know. And I just realized that I had the same, you know, khakis for 10 years. And it was like, that's awesome. I didn't have to go to that. Like most men don't like going shopping. You know, I didn't have to go shopping for pants for 10 years. Like, that's pretty awesome, you know? But then I looked at some of the photos and even like probably noticed it on some of these episodes, but like I realized when I was looking for photos for a friend recently, that I've had this one shirt for 12 years. It's like, wow. Like that. And that's not even that high a quality of a shirt, you know, but it lasted that long. So that like simplicity around buying higher quality clothing, even, you know, would help as well.
Yeah. I mean, that may be something you consider for Lent. We have a missionary that wears the same color shirt and the same color pants every single day. And to be honest, my kids go to a school that has a uniform. Yep. And that creates that simplicity actually creates, it has value. There's some neat things, neat fruits of that reality, especially when it's community wide simplicity, which is nice. So, cool. Okay. Here are a couple of tips for simplicity. How do we live simple? Judge the true cost of the item. So for example, if I'm going to buy my kid a toy and it has batteries, and I know that my kid is just going to leave the thing on anyways, and so we're going to run through a thing of batteries every, you know, 2 weeks, that increases the true cost of the item. If the kids are going to end up, whatever, like there's maintenance, there's shelf space. Like, okay, now it's going to clutter the bed. Like there's going to be true cost of the item. One thing that was mentioned is, will this harm the earth or the poor? And so to look at the item and say, okay, was this made by slave labor or by labor that marginalizes humans? Or is this something that the person who's compensated is going to have integrity and be blessed by it or whatever? Or is it going to be something that's going to be wasteful and forever harm the environment or whatever? Never impulse buy, ever. Sleep on it. The priest who was presenting this, actually, sometimes when he gets sad or whatever, he'll purchase online. And he goes, I've decided that I'm only going to shop when the sun is up. I can only buy things when the sun is up, because it's in the evening when some of those moments come to where you're like, oh, I'd like to do something, and maybe buying something is better. We already mentioned this one: buy fewer things, but buy higher quality things.
Yep.
When you can, share things. The example that was given is an air compressor. Like not ever. And there's a very few people that need an air compressor on a regular basis, but everyone probably could use an air compressor once every 12 to 18 months. So if you can borrow your neighbor's air compressor or go give them $5 and say, can I rent your air compressor for the afternoon? I'm going to go power wash my driveway or whatever it is, you know?
Yeah. So, and I like, what I like about that is it also, like, in a way, like it upholds another value, you know, which is like knowing your neighbor. Like it's good, you know, to know your neighbor.
Yeah.
Most people will spend most of like their entire time in a neighborhood and not know a single person that lives in their neighborhood, unless they just so happen to go to church with them. And then they'll say, oh, hey, we go to church together, you know?
Yeah.
But it would force you to go out and talk to your neighbors. Hey, do you have an air compressor? You know, and just, I don't know. And I like that for multiple reasons, but just the thought of everyone having their own air compressor so that they don't have to talk to each other.
That's brutal.
It's brutal. And I do think people do that. Like people would rather not talk to anybody. I'd rather spend $300 than talk to anybody on my block. You know, but that's not,
it makes no sense to me as an extrovert. No, this is an opportunity to people, you know.
Well, and as Catholics, that should not be our view of the world. We should be interacting with our neighbors, especially, you know, our neighbors, because that's a very easy mission context, you know, for us to share the gospel, to share our faith. And what a great excuse to do that than by a very secular question. Do you have an air compressor? You know,
yeah.
That's a real easy first question to start a friendship or relationship or whatever.
Because that could ultimately lead to, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Months down the road after that initial air compressor conversation.
Not the next sentence, but.
No. It's the baby domino that leads to another domino that leads to the big one. Yeah. Another one is simply live on a budget. For those of us with children, you're forced to.
Yeah.
You know, when you're like just a single person, you're like, okay, whatever. But all of us are dads here. And so like, you're kind of forced to, because otherwise if you don't, your kids might not eat. But to live on a budget actually forces you to have to say no to certain things and be more intentional in the yeses that you make. Get in the habit of giving things away. So not just sharing things, but giving things away. If you're like, I enjoy this pen, right? But we've got a missionary who loves purple pens, and she would get more enjoyment out of this pen than I'm getting out of this pen. So I'm going to bless her and give it to her. It's not like, oh, I hate this, you know, thing. I think about that on food drives. It's okay, what's the garbage that we don't want to eat? Let's give it to the homeless. I'm like, no. Let's take something that we enjoy and give it to someone who would enjoy it more. And that's the true beauty and the grace in giving something away.
I even thought this wasn't one that, I don't think was in there, but the way I came back from a retreat once and was telling my wife, you know, I wanted to simplify my life. I wanted to get rid of half of my clothes in my closet. You know, I wanted to get rid of a lot of the stuff that we have. And I want to increase prayer in our family life. So I want to build a chapel, you know, in our like field and everything like that. And my wife, you know, turned around and said, well, what if we just moved into town? And I was like, what? How does that simplify our life? And she's like, well, right now, you know, we drive 15 minutes into town and back. And sometimes when we're at a soccer game and our kids forget their shin guards, instead of coming back home to get them, because it would take us 30 to 45 minutes, we just pop over to the sports store and buy a new pair. And then it got me thinking that where we live actually does impact the simplicity of our lives. And pretty shortly thereafter, we moved into town. Like we moved to where we live, right next to the school that our kids go to. We live right next to where my wife works and where I work. And so our life is within a 1 mile, you know, radius, except for sporting events, you know? And so that's a very simple life, and it's very easy to just pop back home for something if we need to. And so it's really neat how even just where you live can simplify your life.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, we're not asking everybody to move, but God might be, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's a great point. So, the habit of giving things away is more than just sharing, but giving things away. Learn to enjoy things without owning them. And this is a fascinating thing, but we all, Matt and I have been burdened with having a pool in our backyard. Like it's a lot of work. It's cumbersome. I literally have a hate relationship with my pool. But My neighbors who don't have a pool, when they get invited over, they love the fact that we have a pool. Yep. And so how do we enjoy things without owning them? Like, there are some really cool board games and things like that that I would love to experience, but I don't need to own them because my buddy Doug, when he comes into town, he brings them. Like, he already owns them, so I can enjoy those things. The one example he gave is, if you guys love the gardening section at Home Depot, then go to Home Depot, walk through the garden section, and be like, I'm visiting my flowers. And then go home. You don't have to buy any of those flowers. You can just go enjoy and appreciate those flowers without actually owning them. So I think that's I thought that was a beautiful example of like, okay, yeah, he has the game, but I want the game. But maybe I just wait and enjoy it with him next time he comes. So.
Yeah.
Cultivate a deep appreciation for creation. So the best things in life are free and they exist all around us. Creation, other people, different things like that. Like, we should be looking at God's creation and enjoying those things instead of looking at created things to try and bring us joy and pleasure.
Yep. Yeah. It's amazing how much joy you can get from going out. And that was like one of the things sort of related, but we always do a screen purge before school begins. And so we have like typically around 30 days of no screens, you know, for our kids and for the family, unless we're doing a family movie night, no screens. And it takes a couple days. But after like those first 2 days, I walk in the door and the kids aren't complaining about not being able to watch anything. I walk into the door and they're all playing with Legos. They've created a new game. They've made a fort over here and a fort over there.
Yep.
Their imagination has finally come to life, like it'll come back to life. And it's so much more beautiful to see that happening than them zoned out on a screen, not talking to each other, and in their own corners and not interacting. And that simplicity, you know, actually made space for imagination, which is so much more beautiful than that device in front of them.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that was one of the tips, and that'll be probably be the last big tip that we go to, but like, start with a purge. And it doesn't have to be everything is out, but start with a purge. For Matt and his family, it was a screen purge. For you and your family, it might be you go to your closet and you're like, I'm going to throw or give, that's a better way to say it, give 10 things away. Like, start with some sort of a purge to where it's like, my bookshelf is cluttered and I want to put a picture of my wife and I on the bookshelf. I've got to get rid of 12 books in order to make space on that shelf to make that a reality, you know? And so start with a purge somewhere. There are some things that aren't bringing you joy, aren't bringing you value, and some that might actually be creating chaos in your life. Consider getting rid of those items. The last piece is... Hold
on. Before you go to the last piece, there was something about that bookshelf example that I really liked. You know, even just thinking about your life as a bookshelf, you know, I want to clear out space for my family. Like, I want to clear out some things and put my family there. I want to clear out some things, put my wife there, and clear out some things, put my kids there. You know, there's like something beautiful about that analogy that I like, you know. And so when you're thinking about simplicity, that's what we're looking to do, you know, is clear space for better, like greater goods that we have in our life that need that space.
Yeah. Cause technically, and I'll grab one. Technically, you could have the picture of your wife on the shelf just by sliding it right on top of one of the books that's on the shelf. That's technically a picture of your bride on the shelf.
You're right.
You have to clear out a number of books so that she can be prominently displayed on the shelf, as opposed to, I've just got my family picture or the picture of my bride on the shelf or whatever. So for sure, making space for what's important in your life.
All right, final thing.
Last but not least, and I think this is something so important, especially during seasons. Seasons of Lent and things like that. Live simplicity with joy. We should not be like, oh, this is the worst, or no, we're not doing that because we're living simply or whatever. Simplicity should be something that actually brings us life and brings us joy. And as Catholics, we need to live the gospel with joy. And so when we're called to simplicity because of our love of Christ, because of our faith, it should be something that we are doing joyfully. So make sure that you're not just purging to make your kids suffer, but that you know that those forts are going to be built, those Legos are going to have, the imagination is going to come in. And so you purge the screens for a time because you know that it'll lead to a greater joy in your family. So
I love it.
That's it. That's our show.
All right. Well, guys, so like I would suggest, you know, thinking of one area, you know, that you want to simplify. And if you're married, you know, then speak to your wife, you know, and say, hey, you know, I'd like to simplify this area of our life. Or I'd like to talk, you know, and discuss, so like what it would look like to simplify our life. And this is the area that I'm thinking, you know, that we need to simplify. Mm-hmm. And you might be redirected like I was to a whole different area that she sees needs to be simplified. But do it together and do something. Especially as we go into this, I don't know, season, like this transition season into school, as we're transitioning into that school season again, it's a good time. Those transition moments are a good time to introduce new things.
Awesome. Let's go ahead and pray into it. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus, we thank you so much for the gift of material goods. We ask that we might be good stewards of those, that they might not overwhelm us, that this gift, that this blessing might not be an overwhelm, but rather that we could simply receive and simply live in a way that honors you. But Jesus, we also pray for any decisions that you are calling us to make, especially the hard ones, whether it deals with simplicity or in other areas. Lord, we invite you into those decisions. In your name we pray. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Go transform the world through fatherhood, you guys. Thanks for joining us.
God bless.